This is the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast, recording this on Sunday evening at approximately 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time, roughly 24 hours after the Lightning eliminated the second wild card in the Eastern Conference, the New Jersey Devils, in five games at Amalie Arena. As part of me doing this podcast, I was a credentialed member of the media. Talk about going back to the old days for me, sitting up in the press box just to the right of golf buddy and Lightning television voice Rick Peckham, Lightning analyst Brian Engblom sitting just in front of Rick. Good to see some old friends at the game and actually watch the action yesterday from the press box, as I will be doing for more upcoming games as part of doing this Lightning playoff podcast. Let me apologize in advance if I sound a little off or I scratch voice-wise or cough or have to take a sip of water, as I have felt a cold coming on for a couple of days. It's okay. I avoided the flu season for the most part. I'm hosting my big Todd Wright Tour Championship coming up this Saturday. We're sold out at Buckhorn Springs. I can afford to be down for a couple of days. The Lightning aren't going to play, and this is one thing. It doesn't look like they'll play until at least Thursday. Some of that will depend on what the Boston Bruins do on Monday night against the Toronto Maple Leafs. If the Bruins defeat the Maple Leafs in Toronto on Monday night, I'm thinking the series probably would start on Thursday night, but Thursday would be the earliest for that. Perhaps that's already been pushed back. I don't know. The league hasn't made any announcement. But for those of you Lightning fans wondering when the next series will begin, I think the earliest is Thursday, maybe Friday, then trying to get the games around the weekend with the two games at Amalie Arena, either some combination of Thursday-Saturday or Friday-Sunday, something like that, I would imagine. But the league obviously is waiting to see who the Lightning's opponent will be, the Bruins, as we speak and cut this podcast right now. The Bruins are up 3-2 in their series against the Maple Leafs. Maple Leafs, you can say, hard-earned victory against Boston in Game 5. But tell you, a number of times in the Toronto series, Boston has just flipped the switch and puts on a maddening display of possession hockey and just all-out assault of their opponent. And it's to Anderson's credit that the Maple Leafs aren't eliminated in five games, as he and the Leafs held on at one point, had a 4-1 lead, and then Boston suddenly made it a 4-3 game and totally tilted the ice. The Leafs couldn't even get down the ice to attempt any sort of a scoring attempt to try to give them a more comfortable margin. It's just one of the things the Boston Bruins have shown the capacity to do when they're really on their game. They do have flaws, just as any team does. But when the Bruins really turn it on, it's just tough to get the puck away from them. And it's impressive to watch just how strong they can be on the puck and how they just attack, 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 attack. But we'll talk more about that if they advance to the next round and set up a matchup against the Tampa Bay Lightning in the division final / conference semifinals. While the Lightning advancing is the most important thing, the Lightning did not play well in Game 5 at all. Now, Andrei Vasilevskiy did. He played well, and that makes the result look better. Also, advancing in the playoffs makes the result look makes this look better. But the Lightning played very, very poorly overall for the majority of the 60 minutes against the Devils in Game 5. The Devils really, we talked about this on a previous podcast, you know, if you follow along with the Devils' path to get to that Game 5, what they did the last month of the regular season, specifically the last eight games of the regular season, just to get in the playoffs for the first time in 6 years, then losing the first two games to the Lightning, you have the goalie switch, that's one of the cards you can play. Then the Devils get Game 3. They sort of chip it up make the game chippy near the end, kind of sending the message, hey, this isn't going to be easy. And then game four, the Lightning played rather well, controlled the game, won the game, and really the Devils were out of cards to play at that point. I've seen it many times. Many hockey fans have. The Devils then, without no Vatanen in game five, no Nason in game five, a roster that it's fine. It's good, but it doesn't compare to the Stanley Cup contenders of, say, the Lightning or the Bruins or even the Maple Leafs in terms of the depth of the roster and the scoring. Yeah, so you subtract Vatanen, you subtract Nason, you've already done the goalie change. It's not like you can go back to Kincaid. What else do you got? You're down 3-1. You got a team that probably is a little tired and might not even want to get on the plane and go to Tampa because they know that their fate, that this is the end. Unfortunately, the Lightning didn't do a lot to put it away. And the Devils kept giving the Lightning power play after power play after power play after power play, particularly in that second period. And to even start the third period, that's all the Lightning needed to do was score on that opening power play of the third period. And the game is over. Devils kill it off. Devils are in this game. They're only down one goal. I mean, basically, they're a loose puck, a turnover, an odd man rush, or a dumb bounce away from being tied and suddenly having this momentum of, we can do this. We can go home and play another game. It didn't happen for them, but the Lightning's Game 5 was clearly their worst game of the series. It was worse than Game 3, the game they lost, and was more indicative of some of those bad games that the Lightning played down the stretch of the season, the loss to Carolina when they could have closed out home ice advantage stands out, and some of the games even before to thorough 60-minute strong performance they had against the Bruins in the final regular season meeting of the season with Boston. So that's disturbing, but Vasi bailed them out, and Vasi's had his games where he's given up a lot of goals this year, and that wasn't the case on Saturday afternoon at Amalie. But there were some bad performances out there by a number of players. Steven Stamkos not winning faceoffs. Victor Hedman did take a lot of shots from the perimeter, but something has seemed a little off with the Norris Trophy candidate in this series. He may be battling some sort of injury. I don't have any facts to go on there. But it's not like if I asked John Cooper, he would offer me any facts. I still think the best defenseman the Lightning had the entire series was Braden Coburn. And not just because he scored the one goal until there was, 7 minutes left. Sergachev looked like he wanted to win that game. And if you saw the reaction of Sergachev when he actually scored the goal in the first period, he actually left his skates and leaped in the air. It was sort of, to me, like a young Sergio Garcia at Medina after hitting a ball that was next to a tree. Sergachev came into this game wanting to make an impact and wanting to do something to help the Lightning advance, and he did. And he played that way for much of the game. Now, most teams have, you know, a younger player that when they put him out in a situation like this, it scares the coach a little bit. John Tortorella, never one to hold back, said that about one of his own players, Milano, when he had to stick him in the lineup either for Game 2 or Game 3 of Columbus's series with the Capitals. He basically says, yeah, he can really do some good things out there, but at times in certain situations, he basically says he scares the shit out of me. Sergachev is kind of that player. And obviously, Sergachev drew the ire of Boyle in this series because Boyle tangled with him in that Game 3. Also, just an aside here, and it isn't a big deal because I know there are just fans of every team at every hockey game that feel the need to open their mouth and they feel that's their role. So there are two common things that happen at hockey games, namely playoff games done by home fans, that makes them feel like they're doing something. One is they have a chant of the opposing goaltender's name. The other is they pick a player on the opposing team, and every time that player touches the puck, they boo him. In Game 5, I was not at Game 1 or 2, I wasn't in town, It was Boyle. And you know what? I didn't like that one bit. For what Boyle meant to the Lightning organization, the connections he has with what he has been through, the fact that it was not his decision to be traded. He does sign with the New Jersey Devils, clearly had an impact on a very young team. That's a smart signing by the Devils, bringing in a veteran presence like that. And Boyle even switched lines as a result of Nason not being there. I thought it was kind of cheap ass for some of the Lightning fans to pick Boyle as the guy to boo on the opposing team every time he touches the puck. If it was Coleman, yeah, I get it. If it was Nason, now Nason wasn't out there in Game 5, I get that too. But Boyle, and I guess the only thing you're going on is because he tussled with Sergachev in Game 3, no, that doesn't work for me. I think you should have thought better of that. Found another player to boot. Coleman would have been the one, in my opinion, because Coleman likes to mix it up. He really pushes. He really grinds. That's why they like having him on Taylor Hall's line, etc. So for the fans that booed Boyle in Game 5 every time he touched the puck, I don't think that was your best choice. Going a little further, and we talked about other players for the Lightning that played well throughout the series. Honestly, other than Sergachev, you know, I didn't really see anything that Coburn did wrong in the game, but I couldn't find a lot of things that the Lightning did right up front. Gord had some really good shifts. Gord actually had a lot to do with the first goal, even though he didn't have an assist officially on the goal or the goal itself. But Gord, especially early in the game, was skating well and looked like he wanted it. It just seemed like at 1-0 and until, especially on those power plays, and the Lightning's power play has been so good all season long, but the first power play unit was so bad in Game 5, it seemed like things were a little too cute for a number of guys rather than just, let's get this puck on net and get this game over with. The Devils don't want to be here. They didn't want to get on the plane. They know what their fate is. Let's just put them out of their misery. And that's it. And the Lightning didn't do that. So that's a concern. Advancing is the best part of it. Vasilevskiy had a great game. Sergachev, for what it's worth, showed up, had one of the better games, was definitely one of the three stars of the game. Stamkos on faceoff stunk. It seemed like Stamkos was kind of out of position on a lot of those power plays where normally you see him the top of the at the dot to the goaltender's right, and Stamkos in most of those power plays never even got over there. I really didn't understand what was going on for much of the action. And look, when you're a really, really talented good team, you can get away with bad games. Okay, so the Lightning got away with this bad game and eliminated the Devils. I don't know that they get away with a game like that in the next round against Boston or the round that follows against either Pittsburgh or the winner of Capitals Blue Jackets. So rarely in the playoffs, maybe the first round, I guess there's a chance sometimes the second round, if you get a lower seed second round that pulls an upset and they can't carry it over to the next round. But you're not going to get away with a game like that, Vasilevskiy bailing them out. Now, sure, you have games where your goaltender not letting basically anything in wins you the game. Sure, but you got to play better than that in front of them, especially on the offensive end when you get power play after power play after power play. I thought Schneider was good. I didn't think it was great. There weren't a number of spectacular saves I saw Schneider make. I don't know, a couple. I mean, he was solid in net. His positioning was good. But was he really robbing Kucherov, robbing Stamkos, robbing Tyler Johnson, Braden Point? No. I can't give you one example of that where he just, that should be in. And there were a couple of pucks that were right there to be put in the net, and for some reason they weren't even shot. There was one where I think Kucherov got it into the paint to Stamkos, and Stamkos kind of skated it out of the paint. He wasn't in position to just tap it over the line. So, again, not the Lightning's best game. They get away with it. They eliminate the Devils, and now they have the rest and wait their next opponent, whether that is Boston or that is Toronto. All right. Good to see Callahan back out there, albeit not a ton of ice time, even though Callahan had that one real big hit in the second period near the far side half boards as Callahan threw his weight around. But Callahan's ice time, just looking at him, just grabbing one of my stat sheets. Through the first two periods, Callahan, Kunitz, and Paquette all had roughly 6 minutes of ice time for the game at that point. So that's the first period and the second period in terms of total ice time. So we'll get you another podcast. Again, the cold is kicking in. We'll get you another podcast just before we start game one of the division finals / conference semifinals, whether that is against Boston or Toronto. And I have some thoughts on that particular matchup once we get to that point. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know, that if Toronto can come back from 3-1 down and somehow eliminate the Bruins, I think it's a lot better for the Lightning's path to a potential second cup in franchise history. It's not to say that the Leafs couldn't beat the Lightning in the next round. I just think, based on the way Boston can turn it on, based on the composition of the roster of the Bruins, if it is Lightning Bruins, it's going to be one, as Jim Ross would say, slobber knocker of a series. And there are going to be times where Boston is going to look like they are giving the Lightning an assault that never seems to end. Could the Lightning withstand that and win the series? Of course they can. But let's face it, other than that last game of the regular season, the Lightning haven't been particularly good in head-to-head battles with the Boston Bruins. And you go back to the 2011 postseason where the Lightning lost 1-0 in a penalty-free game to the Boston Bruins, or would have gone then to their second Stanley Cup final, and that was under Guy Boucher. All right, so we'll wait and we'll talk about the next round when we know who the opponent is. Just the thing I wanted to spotlight from this one is, as excited as everyone is that the Lightning is moving on, you're really, other than Sergachev, Coburn, a little bit of Yanni Gord, and definitely Andrei Vasilevskiy, there wasn't a lot to like from Game 5. And if the Lightning play like that again and Vasi doesn't bail them out, those are games they are going to lose against opponents going forward in the Stanley Cup playoffs that are much more talented and much deeper and have a much more want to win than the New Jersey Devils did in that Game 5 situation. That does it for this edition of the Todd Wright Lightning Playoff Podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll talk to you later in the week.